following message is from New Life Gillette series, How to Be Happy. This week, Pastor Paul presents part one of this series.
It is good to be with all of you. Welcome to all of you sitting here in front of me. To those of you checking in online for wherever part of the country you might find yourselves. For those of you in our prison ministry that are with us every week, we welcome all of you and we just look forward to spending some time this morning getting to know God a little bit more. I'm Paul. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's good to be with you this morning. And this morning we're starting on a new journey, and this journey is called How to Be Happy. Who here likes to be happy? Is there anybody in the crowd that likes to be happy? Okay, most of you. Some of you didn't raise your hand. That means evidently you do not like to be happy. You're one of those people that just enjoy being grumpy. Well, we're starting a new series called How to Be Happy, and we're going to spend a couple weeks looking at what this means for us. Happiness is a good thing. It kind of reminds me of this one guy. Maybe you've seen him before. Maybe you check this out. He likes to be happy.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Smiling's his favorite. Well, who wants happy to be their favorite? Anybody? You want to just grow more and more in being a happy person? I want my favorite to be happy. I just want that for my life, to have that deep sense of happiness. The question then is, how do we get happy? What are some of those things in our lives that make us happy over the course of a day? You think about that. What makes you happy? For instance, for some of you, you're going to be driving out of here after the service. You're going to be driving up Douglas Highway. How many of you would be happy if you hit every single green light on the way? They make you happy when you get a green light. And some of you like a red light because it gives you a chance to check what someone might have liked on your post. For others of us, we walked in here this morning, and if the coffee is ready and you can smell it brewing, we get happy with a good cup of coffee, don't we? Or what about, I don't know about you, but this is one of the things that makes me happy. I walk into a grocery store or into Walmart, and I grab a cart, and it actually works. You know what I mean? It's not pulling you this way or this way, or it's not going like this the whole way through the store. I mean, that makes me happy when I get a nice grocery cart that works the way it's supposed to. Or maybe for some of you, have anybody recently gotten a letter or a card in the mail? I'm not talking email, I'm talking snail mail, that old-fashioned stuff. Some of you got, does it make you happy when you get a letter in the mail? I mean, that just is so cool to get that old-fashioned stuff instead of bills or the junk mail that we sometimes get. And you think about some of these things that make us happy, some of these things that are good for us. Happiness is contagious. Happiness is a powerful thing. Happiness is a good thing. But we need to realize some of these things that I just mentioned, how fleeting they are. In 1 minute we have a cup of coffee, but some of you already drank it. It's gone. And you're thinking, should I get up and go get another cup or not? Because I want to be happy. The coffee goes quickly. You get a good cart this moment, let's face it, the next time your chance of getting another good grocery cart is not a good one. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. The happiness can be so fleeting. So over the next 3 weeks, Mike and I will be spending some time looking at how can we become more happy, but not just on those surface things, but instead that deep sense of happiness that is not here today and gone tomorrow, but it wells up inside of you and it makes us different. That happiness, some people might consider it to being a joy, that deep happiness that just blesses others and blesses us in the midst of the journey. Well, today to start that journey, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite chapters in all Scripture. And I know maybe you've heard me say that before because I like a lot of Scripture, but this one, it's just one of my favorites. This is one that my parents and my grandparents, they just knew this passage of Scripture. It's one that sometimes we hear at funerals, not all the time, but sometimes we do, even though it wasn't written to be just a funeral text. It's one that helps us to better understand a life of true, deep happiness. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. Some of you know that text, and some of you are like, yeah, that's one of my favorites too. Well, King David wrote this text. Some of you remember David. Mike talked about him a little bit ago. He was one of the greatest kings ever in all of eternity. But yet before he became a great king, he was a shepherd boy. He was out in the fields taking care of sheep, just an average guy. But while he was taking care of sheep, he learned that relationship of the shepherd and the sheep, and he relates that then to God and us. And he starts off that famous text by this line. It goes like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." So now ponder that for a second, because think of that relationship. If the Lord, if God is our shepherd, then what does that make us? We're sheep. And so to help me understand that you get that, I want you, in count of three, I want to hear your best sheep sound. One, two, three. Some of you got it. You're there. You got it. Good. David wants us to understand that relationship of how us being like a sheep with God being the good shepherd, what that means for us in our lives. You know, we could spend hours picking this text apart, but we don't have that time. So we just want to dive into what is the heart of this text that helps us to know what David is speaking to. And this is the heart of it. We're going to look at this a lot of times here. Lasting happiness and or joy is a way of life for those under the care of the good shepherd. Let me read that again. Lasting happiness and or joy is a way of life for those under the care of the good shepherd. Here's how David starts this text. He says it this way: "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength." Now, for us to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," then we, like sheep, have to be willing to place ourselves under the care of the good shepherd. We need to be willing to know the shepherd, to know his voice, so that when he says go here or go there, that we know that we can follow. So again, to be a sheep in the shepherd's fold, it requires us knowing the shepherd and the shepherd's voice, knowing his will, knowing both here in our head and our heart, which direction in life that the shepherd calls us to go. Here's the question: do we know the shepherd very well? Do we know the shepherd's voice when he speaks to us? Do we recognize? I mean, we know a lot of things in life. We have things memorized in our minds and our hearts that just come natural for us. For instance, let me illustrate. Who here is a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Oh, I hear that you're getting a new quarterback this year. Do you know the quarterback's name? So, okay, some of you have that already in your mind, even though he's a brand new quarterback. Where's my Denver Broncos fans? All right, your quarterback is John Elway, right? Oh, wait, that was a little while, but do you have a quarterback right now? We sometimes wonder, don't we? But you know who is, you know his name, and you know there's good, you know the team, don't you? Or what about, you know, for some of us, we have our favorite TV shows. Who here likes The Walking Dead? Name a character. See, you know them. We have our favorite TV shows, and we know them. We can quote some of the lines. Who here loves the Star Wars movies? Yeah, name your favorite Star Wars movie. See, you know them. These things in life, we're able to quote, we're able to share, because we have them here and here. Now, here's the harder question for you. How many of you are willing to quickly list for me your 20 favorite Bible verses? Uh-oh. Now we got quiet, didn't we? Now, there's some of you out there who would be able to rattle a bunch off. But you think about that. It's not that we can't memorize things. You just showed me that you can memorize things because of all those things we have up here and on our hearts. But is God's word one of those things that we think is important enough in our lives that those are the things that we're placing in our minds and our hearts to guide us each day? To follow the good shepherd, to say that the Lord is my shepherd, we have to be willing to place ourselves under the care of the shepherd and to know what he says so that he can then lead us throughout our days. And so here you have a first life work. It's a very simple one. The life work is this. Number one, memorize Psalm 23. This one that we're looking at today, I want you to put it in your memory. It is an amazing one that teaches us how to be happy in the course of our days, in the course of our life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if you want a bonus, the bonus is this. Memorize five other great passages of Scripture too. Wow, now you're getting serious, Pastor Paul. Put some things in your mind and allow the Holy Spirit to write them in your heart so that God can better direct us in the midst of our days. And there's so many great passages. If you don't know what to memorize, let me know and I'll share some good ones with you. But the more time we spend getting to know that the Lord is my shepherd, it allows us to be led by the shepherd. David continues on, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength." Again, David says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Or another translation of scripture says it this way, "I lack nothing." As you hear that understanding, "I have all that I need," can you feel the happiness welling up inside of you if that's a possibility? "I have all that I need." Let that weigh on you a little bit. What does that say? Because I think for many of us here, we don't feel that way, do we? That I have all that I need? Now, what David is not saying is that if the Lord is my shepherd, that we're going to get everything that we want in life. You know, that all of a sudden we're going to get the newest and the greatest phone. We're going to get a nice big truck, a wonderful house, the best clothes on the market, and $1 million in our bank account to get anything else that we might want. That's not what David is saying at all. But instead, what David is saying, if the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I lack nothing because God helps me to better understand what I do need in life. And no matter what I face in life, because I know that I'm under the care and I'm trusting completely that good shepherd, that I don't have anything else to worry about because I trust God with everything in my life. It's like what Jesus talks about several places in scripture where he says, it's like the faith of a child. Jesus says, unless we have faith like a child or the trust like a child has, that we won't fully get or understand or find ourselves deeply in the kingdom of God. Jesus shares this understanding. What does that look like? Well, anybody that's been to a playground or maybe in a mall or a store and there's some chaos going around and you see a little child there, the little child seems fine as long as the parent is there to grab their hand if they get a little nervous. You know, the child trusts the parent completely, and as long, no matter what is going on around them, the child, as long as the daddy or the mommy can pick them up and embrace them and love them, the child's okay. Everything is okay, even with the chaos around them, because they fully trust the parent that is with them. No matter what is going around them, or should I say us, if we are aware of this big God or shepherd, this all-powerful, majestic, awesome God who loves us unconditionally, we have the potential then of being able to say that line, "I lack nothing. I need nothing because I've got God, and God is with me, and I trust God." And we realize this in our lives because, as it says there, like the sheep, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. God brings us to those places in life where we have the opportunities to notice God, to get to know God, to better understand God's provision for us in life. You know, the sheep loved those places, and so do we when we find ourselves in those amazing places, like here on a Sunday morning, where we can just find ourselves deeply in the presence of God. It's in those places where we realize that the love of God is just lavished upon us. And it brings us back to the heart of this message. Again, this is how it goes. Lasting happiness and or joy, it's a way of life for those who are under the care of the Good Shepherd. Dallas Willard, the great author, in his book, A Life Without Lack, says it this way. David experienced firsthand the lavish sufficiency of God in such a way that it simply didn't matter what else happened. Nothing could rob him of the full provision that he found in the active and conversational relationship in which he lived with God. For those who learn this life of having all that we need, or a life without lack, because of our relationship with God, the Good Shepherd, it begins to well up inside of us. And we begin to find this deep sense of happiness and joy. It becomes part of who we are and what we're about, no matter what we face in life. And it comes from noticing more and more that God is with us. So, what is another life work for us today? Practice the art of noticing. Practice the art of noticing. Here's how we do that. We simply notice God's care for us each and every day. For instance, everybody right now together with me, take a nice big deep breath. Isn't that awesome? How many times do we breathe throughout the day and we don't even notice that God gave us the gift of that breath in our lungs? Or how many times do we go out and turn on our car? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when it does work, that amazing ability, we put a little bit of liquid in there and it gets us from here to there. What an amazing thing that God helped to create in this world. Or what about the beauty of a sunset, or noticing the beautiful coolness of a tree on a hot day? Spend some time this week noticing God's provision for you. When there's food on your table, notice that God is there caring for you. Notice God in your midst. David continues. He goes on to the next one. He says it like this. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now, if you've been attending New Life for very long at all, you've surely heard Mike or I say, Jesus makes life better, and he makes us better at life. That's because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, guides us on right paths. He teaches me the right way to live. He shows me the right way to be married, the right way to be a parent, the right way to run my finances, the right way to use the internet and to look at things that are not going to bring me off the right path, but instead to keep me on the right path. When we find ourselves on the right path, there's the Good Shepherd saying, attaboy, way to go, young lady. God loves when we find ourselves on the right path, finding that right way to live. But here's the problem. We're not always on the right path, are we? There are many times where certain areas of our life that we keep getting off course and we miss being on the right path. Many times we choose it ourselves, that we just choose to go a different way than what God called us to live. Sometimes we're on that opposite path of Jesus because we don't feel that we can get on that path. For some of us, we feel that because of what I've done or what's been done to me, I just don't deserve to be up there. I'm so dirty. I'm sinful. Surely Jesus would not want me back on that path. And you know what? We don't deserve to be on that path. But here's the cool thing. The shepherd leaves the other sheep on that path, and he comes after us, and he grabs hold of us with a cross behind him and his blood pouring out for us, and he says, you, yes, even you, even though we might try to keep him at arm's length, Jesus says, I love you unconditionally, and I died to give you new life. And he longs for me to tell you in this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Can you feel it? When you hear those words of unconditional love, that amazing joy and happiness welling up inside, as Jesus then picks us up and places us back on that right path and says, just follow me. I'm here with you. Just stay with me on the journey. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, especially I have the grace and the love of the eternal God who longs to give us new life and those right paths of life. And then David continues on, and he takes us where not only sheep wouldn't want to go, but he also takes us where we're not going to want to go either, into the dark valleys. He says it this way, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The actual sheep in David's time would not have loved this passage, because it's the imagery of the shepherd leading the sheep through this very high ravine valley and taking them where the mountains were so high next to them that the sunlight couldn't shine in. It was a dark place to be, and it was treacherous. You never knew what to expect around the next turn, whether you were going to get hurt. So the sheep didn't like that. It was scary, and so they always wanted to be close to the shepherd. So too with us. David's talking about our dark valleys of life. We've all been there, and if you haven't, get ready. And maybe some of you are there right now. He's talking about those times in our lives where we think, is there any hope? Is there anything good going on? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe it's a loss of a job or other financial issues. Maybe a broken relationship that you just can't get a handle on. Maybe it's a sickness that you just can't get beyond. Or maybe it's a loss of a loved one. So many different ways that we find ourselves in these dark valleys of life. I remember one specifically for me. It was back, Karen and I were only married for about 2 years at this time. And we had just had Andrew. My present almost 16-year-old was just a four-week-old little guy. We were just beaming with the excitement of having our new little baby at home. And it was on that day that we drove up to my best friend's place to visit with him, John, and Karen. And we just wanted to share our bundle of joy and show them. And after we got home that day, after the long travel that we were on, you know, parents, sometimes you just know, don't you? When something's just not going right. And with Andrew, something wasn't right. We weren't sure what it was. I mean, all of a sudden he did a projectile thing that he just wasn't, and then he was sleeping when he shouldn't have been sleeping, and we just knew something was up, and all of a sudden, he pooped, like four-week-old kids do, and so Karen went back to change him when she realized something was drastically wrong, because it wasn't poop at all. He was bleeding from his hiney. And so we called the doctor right away, and we tried to explain to her what was going on. She thought it was just a little trace of blood, but no, it was not. Karen, with her screams, let it be known, he's bleeding out. And so very quickly, she called and arranged for Hershey Medical Center, one of the great hospitals in the East Coast for children. And we called 911, and then we waited what seemed like an eternity. You know that wait? Where you just, yeah. Two times while we waited for the paramedics to get there, Andrew stopped breathing. And we revived him two different times. The paramedics couldn't find us because it was a newer house and we weren't on the grid yet. But finally they got there, they walked in, the paramedics saw right away that this was a dire situation. So they laid me down on the gurney and they placed Andrew on my chest and I held him. And we waited as the paramedic tried to get that little IV into that little hand to try to get some fluids. Karen did not want to ride in the ambulance because our fear was that he wouldn't make it to the hospital. We started on the journey. The paramedic kept doing the checking the vitals and I kept hearing two words out of his mouth as he leaned forward to the driver, drive faster. As we showed up at the hospital, they were told that we were coming, but they didn't know the direness of the situation. So we went in and the nurse said, the room's down the hallway there. And the paramedic said, where is everybody? And the nurse said, well, they'll get there eventually. And he pulled the sheet back and I pulled my hand to see that just his diaper was just scarlet red. He had lost so much blood. He had no recognizable pulse or blood pressure when we got him to the hospital. I told my wife I wasn't going to cry. So I handed my four-week-old baby over to the doctors and nurses, and everybody just came out of the woodwork and started working with him. And I sat down there on the floor in the hallway outside his room with my back against the wall, and I was all alone. And I started doing the only thing that I could do in the moment. You know what it was. I prayed. I just started crying out to God, God, help. Help me know that you are here. Help me know, God, that you're in the room. And in that moment, all of a sudden, everything changed. All of a sudden, Karen's grandparents, Lois and Floyd Leonard, started walking down the hallway. We call them Gigi Ma and Gigi Pa. And all of a sudden, in that moment, I knew everything was going to be okay. I still didn't know whether Andrew was going to live or die. Hear me say that. Actually, I was doubting that I would ever hold my son alive again. But in that moment when I saw Gigi Ma and Gigi Pa, I just had the sense of peace and joy well up inside of me that I knew everything was going to be okay no matter what. Why? Because anybody that knows Gigi Ma and Gigi Pa, they are two of the most godly people that I've ever known. One of the most godly marriages that I've ever experienced. They're kind of, for some of you, it's like Jim and June Land or Vince and Joy Sams, you know, just the sense of godliness in that older couple. And so as they started walking down the hall, in that moment, I just sensed, okay, God, you got this. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if Andrew would live, but I knew in that moment that Jesus was with me, and I knew that whatever it looked like, we would get through this. Because I knew that Gigi Ma and Gigi Pa brought the presence of God into that midst. You see, that's what David shares. Just so you know, Andrew's backstage working on the computers. He lived. But we left that hospital in an attitude of faith. Because we never found out what caused it. He stopped bleeding. They gave him blood. We never knew. And he never did it again. Good boy. But David shares in this text two words that are absolutely powerful and amazing that helps us when we find ourselves in those dark valleys, and we will all find ourselves in those dark valleys in some way, where we learn that the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Well, in the midst of that dark valley, especially in that dark valley, David shares two words with us that helps us even there to find that sense of joy and happiness. And what are those words? The first one, David said this. He said, even when I walk through the dark valley. The first word is through. Why? We don't get stuck there. With God, we don't get stuck in the dark valley, but there's always that sense of hope that there's something better coming along. What does it look like? We don't know all the time, but we're going to be okay with that. Why? Because of the other word. You know what the other word was? With. Because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's because God is with us in those dark valleys that even when we face those darkest days, we have the ability to get up out of the bed and, yes, even walk into the day that we feel like we can't get up, because God walks us through the valley as he is with us in the valley. Hope is such a powerful, powerful word. And if we can even find a glimmer of it when we find ourselves in those dark valleys of life, even then we can find this inner sense of joy and peace that can only come from the presence of God in our lives. David again comes back to the heart of what this passage is about. Lasting happiness and or joy is a way of life. It's a way of life. It becomes part of our DNA. It's a way of life for those who are under the care of the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I lack nothing in life if I am under the care of the good shepherd. And then we get to the exciting part of the text. David takes us out of the dark valley, and boy, does he get us excited right away. It's what he shares next, it's kind of like drinking out of a fire hydrant. You ever try that? Can you imagine trying that? Having a fireman open up a fire hydrant, letting it gush out, and you just lean down there to try to get a drink? It's that much grace, that much abundant love that in this next part, David just wants us to know how much love and grace that God just wants to pour out upon it. He shares three different images, and they look like this. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Three powerful images that people back in that time would have been like, wow, David, that's amazing that God shares that much goodness with me. John Ortberg shares a story of how this played out in his life one time as he was learning this. One of my favorite authors, he shares a story about a night when his wife was away and he was in charge of getting his three children into bed all by himself. And so it was three young kids, and so he was going through bath time first, and so he had the little one out of the tub first and in their jammies and sitting over in a little bouncy seat, and they were just bouncing there and having a good time. But Mallory, the four-year-old, was next. I understand this story because of my five-year-old Daniel and his love for life. Well, Mallory was next, and so John pulled little four-year-old Mallory out of the tub, sat her down, reached for the towel, and all of a sudden Mallory started doing this thing that they called the dee-da-day dance. I had a feeling it probably looked something like this. Dee-da-day, dee-da-day, dee-da-day. You ever have a kid do something like that? Just celebrate something silly going on in their lives, but yet they just celebrate because of how wonderful they just feel at that moment. That happiness wells up and they have to get it out somehow. Well, John, having the seriousness of having to get the kids to bed, he says, Mallory, hurry. So she did. Dee-da-day, 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 dee-da-day. And in that moment, John looked at her and said, let me make sure I get it right. No, Mallory, that's not what I mean at all. Instead, I need to get you dried off. Get over here, Mallory. Hurry. And she stopped in that moment and she looked at Daddy and she said, Why? And John realized in that moment he had no good answer. Why? Why can't she celebrate? Why can't she just be happy and just have fun? There's a time for things under the heaven, but in this moment, she just wanted to celebrate her tubby. John understood this passage, that sometimes God just wants us to celebrate life, to celebrate those good things of life. And so another life work for you this week, have a few Dida Day moments this week. God tells us, he commands us in Scripture, we got to celebrate the goodness of God that we experience in the midst of our lives. We did one of these a few years ago. Daniel wasn't around yet, so it was just my three big kids, but they said, we want to have a dance party in our front yard. Karen and I said, oh, okay. So we got the stereo system out there. We cranked it up. My kids made these big posters that said, stop and dance with us. And they held it out at the street as cars were driving by, trying to get others to join them in this great celebration. And a couple cars did. But the greatest, the coolest moment was when our neighbor across the street, he was about around 70 years old, and he was stuck in the mud sometimes, and he was, you know, a laid-back guy, and all of a sudden, he pulls in from work across the street, sees the signs, and he gets out of his car, and I know that he would have rather just gone in and just had supper with his wife and laid down the lazy boy, but all of a sudden, he walks across the street, grabs my kid's hand, and he starts doing an old man dance, kind of like how I dance, and it was so awesome in that moment that he just celebrated with my kids. My kids were on cloud nine. They just loved it and they celebrated with him. Celebrate God this week. Don't be afraid to have a Dida Day moment. And then finally, David shares this verse, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The greatest word in that passage is the one pursue. The Hebrew word there is radap. And for some translations, it says follow, but it's not follow. It's like a mountain lion on the tail of a pronghorn, just chasing after it. You see, the good shepherd longs so much for each and every one of you to have an amazing, blessed life, that he chases after you, wanting to share with you the goodness of life all the days of your life, both here and now and into eternity. That brings us back to the heart. What is the heart? The heart is this. Lasting happiness and or joy is a way of life for those who are under the care of the Good Shepherd. For those of us who, like sheep, long to follow the Good Shepherd, we find ourselves in the presence of the Almighty God who just wants to share life with us. Now, I've already shared some life works with you to help you on that journey of learning that sense of joy and happiness, but I have another big one that we're going to start in a couple weeks, but I want to start telling you about it now. In 2 weeks, we're going to start a 31-day happiness challenge. How does that sound? A 31-day happiness challenge where we're going to try to help each other become more joyful and happy. Part of that is we're going to read a book by David Jeremiah called 31 Days of Happiness. It has a chapter a day that we read that takes us through the book of Ecclesiastes just to help us better understand how we can be happy. If you want to join us on that journey, again, Mike is going to talk about it over the next couple weeks as well, and in 2 weeks, we're going to start this. If you think, that's for me, I want to grow in my happiness, my joy in life, to better understand this, you see it on your sermon notes there, text the word happy to that same number we talked about earlier there, the 307-278-6119. Text the word happy to that, and you'll get an email to help you better understand how to take that journey of 31 days of happiness. You'll get emails, you'll get videos to help you on that journey of learning the gift, the amazing gift that God has for all of us to be happy. Who here wants to be happy? Hopefully all of us, and it's a gift from God. Let us pray. God, we don't deserve you. but oh, how you long to share yourself with us. You, the good shepherd, chase after us, pursue us, long to pull alongside of us no matter what's going on in our lives so that we can learn that life without lack, a life of needing nothing because we fully place our trust in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to find that. Help us to receive that by the power of your Holy Spirit moving in us. Help us to learn that life of lack, life without lack, so that we can better find that gift of lasting happiness or joy. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.